the first part of it. So this is the Freedom segment. Fiends. We're coming in on a commercial here right now. Go ahead, Miles. What you got?
Yeah, basically, it's been said that the government only got worried about the gunrunner scandal when CBS News started talking about it.
Yeah, they don't care about us bloggers. I know the blogger that broke that, David Kadria.
Yeah, subscribed to the other guy was involved with that. What's his name? Mike Vanderbo, who's been classified as a terrorist.
Yeah, and I guess I've given support to the enemy because I sent him a computer once when he needed one, an old one that I didn't need anymore.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, though you guys may not admit it, you are conspiracy theorists simply because you don't agree with the official government narrative on everything.
Okay.
I guess we'll accept it. But by that definition, you are right. I pretty much don't believe any official government story about anything.
Well, I think the government is a conspiracy. I think they should be charged under the RICO Act.
Right.
By the technical definition of a criminal conspiracy, yes. People, you know, gathering together to shake down incredibly large sums of money from people who don't want to share said money.
Flash.
Right,
radio.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a group of people getting together to steal radio from people and revision kill you if you don't give them the money and kill other people with the stolen money as well.
Yeah, worms.
It's a conspiracy. Plain and simple. Let me check and see if we're coming back live here soon.
We need to get atomic clocks, although we'd probably get in trouble for having a small amount of atomic material to run them.
We're back live on the air. I'll give out the call number, but wait a few minutes to call. We still got Miles here on the line. Call number is 307-215-5171. This is Freedom Fiends Live. I'm Nima Vedati, and you are Michael Dean?
Yep, I'm Michael Dean. We got Miles on the phone. You know, we have been so unprofessional today, Nima. I didn't even record the first two segments. And part of it's because, like, Ian had a talk with me and said I need to be more professional and more radio-like, you know, like, announce coming out of the breaks with whatever. What are you supposed to say for the breaks, Nima?
Coming out of the breaks or going into the
breaks? Going into the breaks. What are we supposed to say?
And we're back with.
And we're back with. Yeah, thanks. I don't know, man.
That's good.
I got,
coming out of the break.
I got nervous because we had such a good way to do everything that, like, trying to make it more radio made me nervous. And I forgot to press all the right buttons. And I said things like, is anyone even listening while we were still on the air? Actually, a lot of people are. I checked it out. But, you know, I mean, I think I love Ian and he's great. But he's like, he's really radio. And I think, like, telling us to be more radio is like telling, you know, to be more like everyone else is like telling Jimi Hendrix, we like your songs, Mr. Hendrix, but you know, your guitar is feeding back and that's not good. You should worry. You should work on that feedback that your guitar is getting.
Right, right. Maybe a cleaner signal would be good, Jimmy.
Yeah.
But no, I get his point, and I didn't think it was well-meaning, and I think maybe he's right. You know.
Well, you've worked in real broadcasting before, and you know how to do it the square way.
Right.
So do it square. You
TV,
can do it, Nima.
In TV, it was a lot easier because, of course, you have a teleprompter. So it, basically, before you toss the break, you type in what's there, and coming up is always there at the top. So no matter what, you're always going to say coming up, and then you say your little tease.
Well, really, so pro radio people sort of have a teleprompter in a way once, but they have to be like the normal kind of radio to get to that point. I mean, Alex Jones has an army of, like, you know, volunteers that work for free and set up all his notes and things and what, you know, switch what comes up on his computer in front of him. And not just Alex Jones, but like Rush Limbaugh, all those people, you know, CNN, NPR, all those radio stations have people to do all that work, but we're doing it all ourselves for free.
What? It's just a habit thing, man. And basically, Ian was just saying, don't say break because people hear it in their head and they think, okay, I can go to the bathroom or I can stop listening. I can tune out.
Yeah.
But if you say coming up, it sets an expectation. So then people are thinking, oh, I want to hear what comes next. I'm so interested to find out what happens.
Yep. So, Lou, let's talk
not
to Lou for another
Miles.
Miles, I'm sorry. They both call a lot. Let's and that's a good thing. We like that. And if you're trying to get a hold of us out there and you can't because we got lots of callers, you can also email us at talkback@freedomfiends.com if you have a question, and we'll check that from time to time. But let's talk a little more with Lou and then open up the lines for more callers. I mean, Miles, damn it. Fuck. Oh shit. Huh. It's my birthday, man. It's my birthday, by the way.
Yeah. It's your birthday. Oh. You can cuss all you want on the radio.
It's my Facebook birthday. How you doing, Miles?
Well, happy birthday, man.
Thanks, man. Fucking A.
But But yeah, basically, it's the idea, you know, I've had rattling around with seasteading is that the major thing, it seems, if you were to go ahead with libertarian seasteading, is that you would have to provide some kind of a service that would be very difficult to provide by any other way.
Well, they did that with Sealand. They had like web hosting for things that were illegal elsewhere. They would host anything except kiddie porn. Like they would host, you know, stuff on how to make drugs. They would host offshore gambling. They would host like really hardcore porn, anything but kiddie porn. And they did that for a while. But I think now what they do is just sell Sealand memorabilia. And yeah, passports.
Right. So Miles, passports. Your idea is you would provide defense services or security services for commercial ships so that they wouldn't feel so scared about getting attacked by Somali pirates. Is that
well,
the idea?
Well, yes, especially since the law of the sea says that you cannot, if you're on a cargo ship, you cannot legally carry weapons on board.
Wow.
Which is kind of an
which is a really bad
rule.
Law of the sea. Who came up with that?
Nannies, pirates. No,
yeah,
probably
pirates,
probably the British Navy when they had the monopoly on piracy. You know.
Mm. Oh yes, yes. I mean the opium wars. I mean you bring up the opium wars in polite company in this country nowadays. People think, a war to stop opium? No,
I think
a war.
No. A war to keep opium. I think everyone who's into the war on drugs should be tied down in a chair with their eyes propped open with eye drops like in Clockwork Orange and be forced to watch that crocodile documentary.
Oh, the Pharmacratic Inquisition. You can look that up on YouTube. It's on YouTube. It's free. It's about 2 hours, but the Pharmacratic Inquisition, highly recommend it.
Thanks, Miles.
That's a great name, man. I thought you came up with that. It's
I know.
A documentary?
It's awesome.
Yeah. Talk to you later.
Check that out.
All right. All worms.
Right.
I wasn't saying get off the phone. I was just saying thanks. I was writing it down. All right. The lines are open if we got – I was not telling him to go away. I was just saying thanks, man, and I wrote it down. So the central scrutinizer, the government agency that listens to us 24/7.
Yeah.
I would like it if they could give me an MP3 of the first segment of the show so I could put it into the show, into the archives, because I didn't have it. I forgot to hit record. And I know they're recording and we're paying their salary. So it's the least they can do to spy on us. If they're spying on us is to send me an MP3 at talkback@freedomfiends.com of that first segment.
You can do it anonymously. No questions asked. Just send us an encrypted email with our own file. We'd much appreciate it.
Don't send it encrypted. But yeah. Worms.
Worms, Michael. I don't know, man. I'm just chilling, talking about liberty on the radio. Although, I guess for our podcast listeners, they're only going to get segment 3 through 6, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
Oh, it's the fiend phone.
Fiend phone.
Hello, fiend. Who is this?
Hey, it's Ian.
Hey, Ian. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I won't do it again.
I'm sorry about.
Oh, is this Ian Freeman?
Yeah.
What's up? Are you listening?
Well, I was actually listening to your podcast the other day, and I wanted to comment on something you were saying.
Okay. Is this Ian Freeman from Free Talk Live?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Right. So, shall I go now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, great. You guys took Paul live on the air. Very cool.
Yeah.
So, I heard you guys talking about deathbed LSD trips.
Yeah.
And who said something to the effect of that he wouldn't want to be on LSD because he would want to be aware.
Right.
Was that pretty much a recount of what you said?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I've always felt that way. That I mean, I know you can't really choose how you die in most cases, but it's my fantasy that I'll be eyes wide open, understanding what's coming, not necessarily off in la-la land.
Have you ever taken LSD?
I've never taken LSD, no.
Okay.
I have.
That was my prediction. I figured by saying what you had said that meant that you hadn't taken LSD.
I've taken LSD over 100 times, and I do not want to be on LSD when I'm dying or ever again in my life.
Well, I want to know why that was your prediction, Ian? I'm curious. Do you feel a level of clarity when you have taken it?
Well, some would say that when you're on something like LSD or psilocybin or something like that, that you're more aware of things than you normally are, and that's why some people are overwhelmed and have a tough time, because you know the LSD is opening up pathways in your mind that otherwise wouldn't be something you would be aware of. So someone would say the opposite is actually true.
Yeah, and I don't discount that. I mean, I could see that. Like I say, I've never really tried LSD. I tried psilocybin. Is that it?
Psilocybin.
I'm guessing. Psilocybin? Okay. Yeah, I tried that once when I was in high school, but it was just stuff we had picked literally off of cow patties. And so I don't really know how pure it was or if it was the real thing or not. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a whole lot of experience with psychoactive or psychedelic drugs like that. But I have heard Clarity is not necessarily a side effect, but a big part of the experience.
Is this really Ian from Free Talk Live? It doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, I'm on my cell phone here.
I hate to say prove it to the guy who's basically our boss, but okay, what did you send me an email about last night?
Wait, I sent you an email last night?
Yeah.
I don't recall. I don't recall doesn't mean I didn't do it.
Something about radio and a posting you did.
Oh, well, that was last night. I thought it was like 2 nights ago. Yeah, so I posted your $250 radio.
Okay. Nima, do our we're coming out thing. I forget what to say. I'm not pro enough.
You already screwed it up, Mike. No, I'm kidding.
Have a good show.
Come back
awesome, Mike,
and hear us. Tonight. Thanks for calling, Ian.
Would you like come to back advertise your product or service to a large
I really didn't think that was Ian, man. I was like trying to look up the number. It was a New Hampshire number, but it didn't sound like Ian. It was, though. Because he knew the secret answer.
His voice was a little lower than normal. I think he was more relaxed. He was laid back. He wasn't in radio mode.
He wasn't tripping on.
You can interact with other LRN listeners. You are still on break.
Bang Brothers.
That's forum.
Sounds like the guy from Bang Brothers.
Totally is, man. I'm telling you. Oh yeah, Freedom Fiends live. We back. We promise to be more professional this time. No more cussing. No more asking Ian if it's really Ian.
I know, man. This is some real, like... some free market anarchy, meaning free market chaos today, not what we think of as anarchy. Yeah. You know, it's like, this is the kind of radio where, you know, you're sitting there talking about the drug that you inject that makes your skin fall off, but the guy's basically your boss calls in to want to yak, and you say, I don't think it's really you, man. Prove it.
Yeah. Only on LRN does your boss call and tell you that you should take acid before you die.
And you still say, I don't think it's you, man. Prove it.
If you had taken your acid this morning, Michael, you would know the truth.
I don't know. I'm nervous. I'm trying to be pro, and it's making me nervous. I need to shoot some crocodile and lie down. Yeah,
some crocodile and just relax. Shoot it straight into your face. And you get that nice gravelly voice.
Speaking of face, did you see this one? Miami police shoot man killing other man's face on the way to the hip hop festival. What is it about hip hoppers wanting to eat people's faces?
Wait, I didn't get that. A rapper ate somebody's face?
Well, there is some rapper that ate someone's face. You don't know about that?
No.
This may not have been a rapper, but it was in a traffic jam on the way to the hip hop festival. Rapper ate face. Rapper ate person. There's somebody who did.
I think a face would be one of the more tasty parts of a person.
You never heard of Big Lurch? We talked about Big Lurch.
I've heard of Big Lurch. He ate somebody's face.
He killed his roommate and ate parts of her body while under the influence of PCP and then rapped about it from prison.
That's horrible.
You never heard of Big Lurch?
No, man. I guess I need to read more about rappers who eat people's faces weekly.
He was from Texas, man. You're from Texas. He was a member of the Cosmic Slop Shop.
Man, yeah. Lesson today, don't eat anybody's face.
This is so underground, man. There's
another case of somebody eating a face?
Yeah. This was in public. It was like on the side of the road. A cop pulled over, like saw someone eating a person's face, and the guy was alive whose face he was eating, and the cop shot the guy. See, now that's a video that should be on
Fiend
the news
phone.
The cop
Fiend
doing the
phone.
Good thing, shooting someone to keep him from
Fiend
eating
phone.
Someone's face.
Fiend
phone. Hi Fiend, who we got here?
Hey, it's Rob Schillingford from Hollywood. It's
hey Michael. Man, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on?
Aren't you a $30 film school fan?
What's that again?
Weren't you a fan of my book $30 Film School?
It was Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women.
Okay. Something from my creaky little past. What's up, Rob?
Well, what's the topic today, guys? What do you have going on?
It's kind of free form, man.
Eating faces, taking LSD, and crocodile, apparently.
Yeah, crocodile.
All right, well, how about this? About a week ago, a cougar came down from the Santa Monica Mountains, made its way into Santa Monica downtown by the promenade, and was actually cornered, tranquilized, hit with black pepper beanbags, and then shot. That makes me sick because there's only about 13 mountain lions left in the whole entire Santa Monica Mountain range. I just, you know, how do you fight something like that? How do you contact PETA and say, hey, I'm with you? What do you do? I just don't find that fair.
There are hundreds of them where I live, which is one of the reasons I carry a gun. That's how I fight it.
Yes. Have you actually seen one, faced one?
Nope.
Contact?
Nope. No. Seen a rattlesnake, though.
I
don't know. I think how you fight that is you don't build where they live, but people are going to build where they live anyway.
Hanging out on the beach.
I mean, people get bummed out about that because they're like, you know, they look like big kitty cats when they're lounging. There's a picture. I saw a picture of that. I was lounging on someone's patio and they took a picture from the next floor and it was like, it looked like a big gentle kitty cat. And they're like, how can you fight that? But you know what? Those things eat babies and they eat house pets and they eat you. And they are giant killing machines. And if faced with one in close proximity that was growling at me, I would shoot it repeatedly. I would not call 911 and wait for someone with a dart gun.
Yeah, and I think that's my answer too, is having people be more self-reliant. Because I feel like what happens, even if it's not a mountain lion, where I live, it was a cow. You know, a cow got loose and police were dispatched and they ended up shooting it with their M4s or their M16s. A cow.
Cows are harmless, man.
The real problem was that it becomes a big deal. The media comes out there. There's tons of police. It just becomes a mess, and that's what I think is the problem.
I'd never shoot a cow. Thing. I mean, I can't picture shooting a cow. I can't picture them. I guess a bull can get really violent, but cows are – I mean, I was out shooting with a buddy the other day, and there were cows near where we were shooting, you know, and we were coexisting. They were
right
60 feet away, you know, 120 feet away from us, and we were shooting in the opposite direction in a cow pasture, and they didn't bug us, and we didn't bug them. They didn't get any closer because we were shooting. Right. I've had cows –
So why shoot a cow? What was it doing? Just blocking traffic?
Yeah, I don't think that's the issue here. Let's go back to the cat. Because that's what you're calling about. You know, cows, that was a cop being stupid. Because you could do something other than with a loose cow, you could corral it back without having to shoot it. It was probably messing up rush hour and people were in a hurry. And the cops
felt they had to do something. It wasn't even rush hour. It was in a neighborhood.
Here's how I think you deal with that is you take away all the laws that prevent people from raising animals how they want. And I think nothing would go extinct because there'd be a use for everything and people would breed them.
Well, with the exception of that, this puma actually came down from the mountains. It was not raised in someone's backyard or someone's bathtub. It actually came down. It was one of the few cougars out here. And you lived in L.A. for a while, didn't you?
About 10 years, yeah.
How did you feel back then? Would you have had an issue with it back then versus now?
I didn't really understand guns and self-defense back then. You know, I thought guns were magical talismans that were only carried by the government. So, I mean, is your issue that they shot an endangered animal or that they shot an animal that you feel is beautiful or what?
Well, a little bit of both. It's just a rare animal and it pissed me off.
Are you a vegetarian?
What's that again?
Are you a vegetarian?
No, I'm not. I'm meat eater strictly.
Okay. Me too. Yeah. Me too. And so's Nima. What's the difference between, you know, shooting a cow in the head, a docile animal in the head in a conveyor belt line for your hamburger and shooting an animal that is probably going to eat a baby if it gets a chance?
I guess a cow does not remind me of innocence and purity. But a mountain lion out there would.
I mean, I'll go out, I'll shoot a badger when I'm out shooting out in the country. You know, if there's a badger nearby, I'll shoot it. You don't even need a permit here to shoot them. And they are vicious animals. And I'll just shoot it for target practice because I can. But if I saw like a neighborhood kid torturing a cat, I would probably go to prison because I'd probably fucking kill that kid.
You're a big cat fan, right?
Yeah. So I understand the, like, you know, it reminds me of innocence or something, but Mountain lions are killing machines, man. They look like house cats, but they will eat anything that's a mammal that they can get their hands on.
But here's the thing. If the mountain lion isn't hurting anybody, why not just leave it alone? Maybe it was going to just leave. Maybe it was just passing through. I mean, what do you do in nature? In nature, I'm carrying my gun on me, and if I see a mountain lion, which I probably won't because they're mostly nocturnal and I don't hike at night, but if I'm in nature and I see a mountain lion, I'm going to back away. If he tries to attack me, I'll shoot, but I'm going to try to remove myself from the situation, and the cat will probably do the same thing.
You're not just going to fire unprovoked. If something happens, then it'll take aim and actually what you have to do. I get that 100%.
Right.
Okay, there were about 30 people by the promenade, and they had this mountain lion cornered. And it didn't make a run to get through. But do you think it honestly would have attacked, killed, tried to take a kid down?
Yeah.
If it was cornered, yeah.
I think the problem was that it was cornered.
That was the problem. Once they cornered it, they had to do something.
I would get in my car and leave if I could, if I saw a mountain lion. I wouldn't get closer to it and corner it and take pictures and gawk. That's what makes them attack, man. People are really stupid about nature, too. You know, like...
Yeah.
We've been to Yellowstone. My wife's been to a lot of national parks. And, you know, people go up and try to feed Doritos to the bears while they're holding their baby. You don't do that, man.
That's ridiculous. Yes.
There's a Dead Kennedys line. Feed Doritos to the bears. Winnebago Warrior. It's in the song Winnebago Warrior. Yeah.
Nice.
No, but DJ's seen it. And DJ's been to zoos where, like, you know, somebody has their baby and they're looking over the tiger enclosure and the tiger is like looking at their baby and getting closer and closer and they're going,
licking its lips.
Isn't that cute? And DJ's like, you know, that thing's looking at your baby and thinking lunch. And the parents look at my wife like, you horrible person. How could you say that? And I'm like, she's trying to help you. It is looking at your kid like it's lunch, you know?
Yeah. I think you're right, Michael. People are dumb about nature, and maybe that's part of the solution too, is keeping people from being so damn stupid.
Yeah, a lot of people too, and I won't even bring like left-right into this. I was going to say liberals, but Republicans do this too. They want to get out of the city or at least have a place to go out of the city once in a while. So they go out into nature and build a house, and then they complain when nature comes near their house, you know?
They throw off the whole flux of everything, and then they bitch about it. Yeah. Sure.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going into a break here. Ah, damn it. Nima, you do it.
Well, you guys, I can go out with the break. I just want to say what's up.
Thanks, man.
Listening to your show. So, yeah, keep it up, guys.
Thanks, Rob.
Until next week, then. Have a great one.
Worms.
We appreciate it, man.
By the way, real quick, just to all my ex-veteran buddies and everybody else who's ever served, happy Memorial Day. Cheers to everyone. Guys, take it easy.
Thanks for calling, man.
All right. Appreciate it. All right. So coming up on the Freedom Fiends,
we're out.
A commercial. Hi, I'm Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends podcast, and I'm excited about Vaporsmith's electronic cigarettes. I dig the taste, and I dig the freedom to vape anywhere the nanny staters would wet their pants if I smoked.
Vaporsmiths.com is run by a liberty-loving entrepreneur, not some subsidized tax-eater conglomerate.
I'm Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, and I love Vaporsmiths. I smoked 3 packs of tobacco cigarettes a day for decades, but now I'm only using Vaporsmiths. I love the flavors, I don't smell like smoke, and I save money, so I have more to spend on ammo and treats for my kitties.
Available in 4 strengths and 10 delicious flavors. Reds, Classics, Turkish, Menthol, Strawberry, Cherry, Vanilla, Coffee, Minty Mint, and Cloves. Go to Vaporsmiths.com. Use coupon code FREEDOMFIEND to get 25% off your order. This is a limited time offer. Vaporsmiths at Vaporsmiths.com. Have you been looking for a safe, scenic, and inspiring place to live free? We chose Wyoming. Wyoming is the home of Free State Wyoming and the personal choice of Boston Tea Party, as well as the setting of his book, Moulin LaBaye. Bring the family and stop by for the 2012 Free State Wyoming Jamboree for 4 days of camping, shooting, and barbecue. There'll be trading, hiking, a raffle, and plenty of activities for the kids. Admission is free for those under 18. Entrance and 4 days camping is $15. It's only $15 more for the barbecue and beer on Saturday. Visit freestatewyoming.org. There's even a one-day handgun course led by Boston. The handgun course is extra. The Jamboree is June 28th through July 1st in the beautiful Black Hills of Wyoming.
Join us to explore our favorite area of the country and see if our choice might become your choice. That's freestatewyoming.org. See you there.
Hello, Michael.
Hello, the fiends.
We're trying to be lighter in this hour because we got to some dark places like killing animals and eating faces and shooting yourself with drugs that make your skin fall apart.
Well, I have an animal. So, I have an animal killing an animal story that's kind of lighthearted. We've talked before about how animals
a lighthearted death story.
About how animals, you know, kill mice and birds and cut the heads off to bring you the tastiest parts. Last night, Peanut, my cat, killed a moth and put it under my pillow for me.
Under your pillow.
Yeah.
He just wanted the moth fairy to bring you some catnip. Bring him some catnip.
bring him some Freedom Fiends dime cards. There are Freedom Fiends dime cards. You can go to the top of the freedomfiends.com site. There's a link that says Freedom Fiends dime cards. And talk a little about the dime cards there.
Man, the dime cards, that's a great concept. You basically buy these cards. They're laminated. They've got a little silver dime in them. So the silver in the dime is not, you know, it's obviously worth way more than 10 cents. What is it, like $3-4 now, something like that? There's actually a website you can go to online that'll track your junk silver for you, your dimes, your nickels, your quarters, etc. All that stuff, if it was made before 1964, is mostly real silver, so it's worth money. Dime cards have our logo on it, some funny sayings like tasing you with liberty since 2011, various funny stuff. You can just pimp the fiends, you know, pimp liberty, give them to your friends, use it as a conversation piece to explain to people, hey, the frickin' state is stealing your money, here's some real money with freedom stuff on it, learn about this stuff, and hey, here's a gift.
Yeah. And one of them also says Freedom Fiends at Porkfest in spirit, which is because they're going to be selling these at Porkfest. It's they're going to have the world's first silver dime card vending machine at Porkfest. And nice. Since everyone keeps complaining that we're not going to Porkfest, we had to put that on one of them.
Yeah. I want to go to Porkfest, man. Just this year, it doesn't fit into my plans. And that's a cop-out. Yeah, I know. But, man, it's so hard to go to New Hampshire. That's so far away. I went to New York State, like West Point. I went there once when I was a kid. Other than that, I think I've only been across the Mississippi, you know, if I was in the eastern part of New Orleans or something. I try not to travel to the east. It's just not my bag, man.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the price of a silver dime right now. It's kind of hard because I keep finding all those numismatic sites that, like, they're talking about.
Numismatic.
Yeah. Silver dime, they're about $2 and something right now.
$2.
Not $4. But
yeah, metal prices have been going down the past month or two. Not sure why. I'm not an investor, but I know. The thing is, it's a long play. You know, buying metals you don't buy and then flip and then make money. Although some people can do that, but you got to really know the market. It's a long-term thing. You buy it, and it's a bet, a hedge against the fact that the government's going to keep on inflating. The state's going to keep doing what it's doing. You know, like Ben Stone says, the only way the state goes away is when it reaches critical mass and can't feed off of its host anymore. There's no gradually using the government to make the government better and then wishing that we're going to have freedom. It's like you say, Michael. That's like having sex for the cause of virginity. It's illogical.
Yeah. Yep, and the silver dime cards were. Let's see, Ben Quaker helped me out with some ideas, and the guy who did the design work was he goes by the name Muslim Agorist, and I think the other guy's a Christian who's involved. So the Fiend silver dime cards are proof that Muslims, Christians, Quakers, and Deists can work together in the free market
to the same common cause and for a beautiful thing too. Yeah, that's good. You should write an article about that.
I was thinking about it. We need a Jew in there. We need a Jew and a Zoroastrian in there, too.
We do need a Jew, huh? Yeah. Well, I don't know. Jews can't be that hard to find.
No. They're probably selling silver. Oh, he said it. No. So Michael Bolden of the 10th Amendment Center, who does 10th Radio, which comes on LRN soon after us, is... got added to the Southern Poverty Law Center's new top 10 upcoming terrorists to watch or whatever it's called.
Yay.
I'm envious, man. Why aren't we on that?
I feel like we should have a sound effect of people cheering after you said that. We need a little trigger pad to play stuff like that.
Yeah.
Since we're already Morning Zoo Crew. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, we've said it before. You can judge a man by his enemies. And if the SPLCC, is that what, how do you, what's their acronym?
SPLC.
Yep. If those folks put you on their list, it means you're doing something right. Because they love the state and they want nothing but the state forever in perpetuity. Like they might as well live in North Korea.
So did you look at this thing I sent you about brutalist architecture?
No, brutalist architecture?
Yeah, it's a...
Is that like stuff that looks like the Metalocalypse van? And
no, sort of. It's the name of the architecture from the like 40s and 50s that a lot of government buildings are, like most FBI buildings and a lot of courthouses and a lot of government buildings. I just love that government buildings are made of brutalist architecture.
Brutalist.
It makes sense.
Wow, that makes so much sense. Well, why do they call it brutalist? Is there something
look it up on Wikipedia while we're chatting about it here. Brutalist architecture. It is so brutal. It is. I'd say crocodile is pretty brutal. You know, those pictures were pretty brutal. They were rough pictures, man.
Brutalist architecture is a style of architecture which flourished from the 50s to the 70s, spawned from the modernist architectural movement. Critics find it unappealing due to its cold appearance, projecting an atmosphere of totalitarianism.
Yeah, they're buildings that are supposed to scare the pee out of you when they take you there to, you know, make you do the state's bidding.
Okay, and here's the etymology of the term. British architects Allison and Peter Smithson coined the term in 1953 from the French béton, brut, or raw concrete. So,
yeah, brut means something different in Europe. I had a girlfriend from Switzerland who spoke Italian, who used to, when I would like burp or something, she'd say brute, which I don't know if that was French or Italian, but I think it's the same root word. But like, you know, brute in that sense of the word doesn't mean people who stab kittens. It means, you know, someone who's uncouth and unrefined.
Yeah.
Brute.
Yeah.
There used to be a cologne.
Yeah,
there was like a men's cologne concrete. Called brute, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think there still is.
What, DJ?
Went out of business.
Oh, she said it's a champagne. Is it?
I don't know, man.
I think there was a cologne.
I don't drink a lot of champagne, and I don't wear a lot of cologne, so I'm the wrong person to ask.
I'm really glad. I don't like a lot of cologne. I'm glad. I've been around. I was around you a lot when you were here. I was glad you didn't wear cologne.
I used to wear a little bit, but I don't know. Not real musky stuff. Always the light stuff that makes you feel like you just took chowder.
A chowder.
So yeah. Me and my wife have like our own language, and sometimes it peeks out into real life.
Mew.
Yeah, I'm afraid our kid won't know how to speak English properly. Add a ch sound to everything. Chowder. Chows instead of cows. Horchies instead of horses.
Hortipees is what DJ calls horses because that's what she called them when she was a little kid. I used to say
hortipees.
When I was a kid, I called spaghetti and meatballs. I called it biscotti and meat bulbs. And I told DJ that. And she thought it was really funny. And now when she cooks it, she'll say, I made some biscotti and meat bulbs for you.
I used to say everything backwards. Like I would say shoes. I would say oosh, oosh. Cookies was kikas.
I think that's a way of, you know, kids trying to fit into the world in their own way somehow. And a lot of times that crap gets quashed in public school. Did you see the public school thing about the like 17-year-old girl in a public school who is in jail for truancy and she's on the honor roll. But they're like, you know, we don't care how bored you are with our dumbed down teaching, you're going to be here. So they put her in jail.
In jail. Yeah, you're going to be in jail one way or the other. It's going to be the county or it's going to be the public school.
Well, remember those t-shirts those cops made? You raise them, we jail it, we cage them or something?
We cage them. Yeah, you raise them, we cage them. Man, that's just horrible. Yeah. They love the power. That's all it's for. It's not for actual education. It's just a place to put the kids and a place to throw your weight around in a jobs program for the people who want to throw their weight around.
So Kyle Bennett sent us something in response to my putting the coffee pot in the cupboard story. You know, I said I did that and we were joking about like some comedy show where someone was talking about marrying a woman he didn't really love and doing that to her, like hiding her purse and making her think she's gone mad. Right. There's a term for that. It's called gaslighting. And it's something that like the CIA actually did to people.
Oh, wow. Well, I guess we should talk more about that here in a little bit. I also, I one-upped you the other day, and this was totally on accident. I made tuna salad. And when I was done with it, I put it in Tupperware. But instead of putting it back in the fridge, I put it in the cabinet where the Tupperware goes. Stank up the whole house.
How long was it in there?
It's just a day. Luckily, my wife caught it when the power went out, and she was rummaging through some stuff with a flashlight. So,
come on, Nima, do the radio thing. Do the radio.
Damn. You're not supposed to make a deal out of it. That's the whole power. There we are. It's Freedom Fiends Live, the good kind of FFL. Give us a call, yo. It's 307-215-5171. Again, 307-215-5171. And you can also email us at talkback@freedomfiends.com. Ain't that right, Michael?
Yeah. I just got a birthday wish from Karmaceuticals. I'm a pretty cool guy. I don't smoke pot, and a medical marijuana dispensary just sent me birthday wishes.
Did they send you a birthday gram or what?
A birthday gram?
Yeah.
That could be taken two ways.
A potogram.
I thought you meant a gram for my birthday. No.
Yeah,
I'm not a Colorado medical marijuana card holder. They couldn't.
Yeah.
But they did send me a picture of that, so... Yeah,
there you go.
They sell our DVD there.
You can fantasize. You can imagination smoke a bowl. Smoke an imagination bowl.
Yeah. Now, yes. I'm going to do some imagination crocodile, man.
Sounds like a fun game to play.
Yeah.
Crocodile.
Crocodile. That's good. That's pretty good Russian.
Crocodile. Yeah.
We take
have
you in.
There's these YouTube videos by this guy. He calls himself the professional Russian. Have you seen those? Where he just shoots a bunch of like amazing guns that you wish in your wildest dreams that you could own.
I think I think that crocodile would go hand in hand with living in buildings that were in brutalist architecture somehow.
Yeah. I can see having a brutalist architectural building and the fountain would be just crocodile pouring out of people. It sounds like an episode of Metalocalypse, you know, during one of the music montages where people just die.
Yeah.
Getting squirted with crocodile and melting.
Well, you know, it's interesting that band on that show has never touched church burnings. They've never even mentioned it. I think it's just too much of a topic, but I think in a way it inspired the whole show.
Yeah.
You know, because they're so brutal, those church burners.
So brutal.
And, you know, one of the guys in the documentary I saw, like, was Toki. It's who Toki's based on. It's got to be. But instead of church burnings, basically, like, they don't do anything, but whenever they play, supernatural things happen and people die, basically.
Oh. Okay.
You know, they'll play.
Is Toki, to clarify, Toki is the blonde one who's really good, right? Or is Toki the one that's kind of a
goofball? Let me look up Toki Wartooth. I get them mixed up. There's Squiskar. Squiskar's the blonde that's really good. Toki is the rhythm guitar player that kind of hides behind Squiskar's playing.
Right.
Squiskar. I think that's a takeoff on Swiss Guard. The Swiss Guard, the people that guard the Pope. Pope's army.
I didn't know the Pope had an army.
Yeah, you don't know about the Swiss Guard? I don't think they're Swiss anymore, but
oh man, I haven't been Catholic for years, man.
Yeah, the Pope has an army. It's called the Swiss Guard.
Okay.
Not the Swiss Guard.
Not Swiss Guard. Which would be cooler.
I know.
Yeah. So it's like Memorial Day weekend, and so I did have a thing that I wanted to talk about. You ever hear that saying? I'm sure you have, where people say freedom ain't free.
Yeah, that's that means you should go die defending a Walmart in Iraq.
Yeah. Doesn't make much sense, does it? And me and my wife were driving the other day, and she brought this up. She goes, you know, if freedom ain't free and we supposedly are free because of the soldiers or whatever, how come we can't choose where we get our freedom from? Like, if it's this product that ain't free, like, why can't we choose what kind of freedom we have? Like, maybe I want Stefan Molyneux's brand of freedom or Fiend brand freedom, you know, instead of Barack Obama brand freedom. You know, maybe instead of freedom, someone would just choose not to buy it and save their money or their life or their children.
Yeah.
Like, it seems just obvious, like, I don't understand how you can have that much or that little brain power to say something like freedom ain't free and not get the inherent ridiculousness of the statement and not understand that if what you're saying you have to pay for it with is forcing people to death, forcing people into service and shooting at people, then isn't that the negation of freedom? Isn't that the exact opposite of freedom?
Yes.
Yes. Not even a worm.
You know, I totally dig Stefan Molyneux, and I watched a video today of someone bashing him. They were actually bashing the non-aggression principle, that was just horrible.
Which, how can you do that? How can you pass the
non? I posted on that one.
Argument.
I posted on that one. I hope some bad libertarian punches this guy. I didn't say I hope it. I said I'd be happy if some bad libertarian who doesn't follow, you know, punches this guy. He was an idiot. But it was kind of interesting because I haven't heard a lot of – I've heard a lot of statists debunking libertarianism, like, oh, you don't like roads. Go live in Somalia. But I've never heard, I think, a statist like who's heard of the non-aggression principle and heard it defined by someone like Stefan Molyneux deconstructing it badly with a lot of logical fallacies. Well, like this
I don't understand what his argument was. I mean, I didn't watch it. I started to watch it during one of the breaks, but
it was so stupid. It's not the point I want to go to anyway, though. But I was thinking, like, you know, if there was stuff you could choose, Stefan Molyneux brand liberty or Fiends brand liberty, you know, and I'm kind of thinking, like, well, is there a difference? They're both based on the same things. But actually, like, not to disparage Stefan, because I totally dig him and I think he's a great force for liberty. But I think if there were Stefan brand libertarianism and Fiends brand libertarianism, you know, and you could choose from those, I think that the people who have the Stefan brand would be looking out their windows at the people with the Fiend brand and going like, you crazy kids, get off my street. You bother me.
Yeah.
I kind of think
Fiend's brand would be like a Mickey's 40 ounce. Stefan would be like a Stella Artois or something.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. But either way, it'd be better than a Barack Obama brand freedom, which would be like a gun that shoots you in the head as soon as you pick it up.
I know. And doesn't let you smoke weed, even though he smoked it and bogarted a joint.
Yeah. Yeah. Such a status hypocrite. Such a square, man. F that guy.
Speaking of drones, Obama, right. Drones. Paul Bonneau made a really interesting point about, like, you know, there are some agencies that are working toward weaponizing drones in America, and doing so, or weaponized drones anywhere, break the basic rule of gun safety 24/7. You know, you don't point a gun at anything you're not willing to destroy. A weaponized drone is constantly pointing its guns or its missiles at everything below it. You know, it's not hitting fire until it's told to, but there could be a malfunction, whatever. But I guess governments are willing to destroy everything they fly drones over.
Oh, yeah, completely. They don't like to come right out and say it, but, I mean, isn't that inherent in it? I mean, when a cop pulls you over, he's willing to destroy you. We've read the posts on things like Police One where they say, you know, treat everybody like a friend, but be thinking about how you would kill them if you had to.
You ever seen that movie They Live?
Yeah, with the glasses. Roddy Piper.
He's actually really good in that. I like it.
He is.
Which is
the movie wrestlers kinda, are good actors. I mean, you can't argue with that.
Yeah, now rappers are good. There's a thing in Entourage. Yeah. We're like, should we hire that actor, that rapper? Can he act? And like, all rappers can act.
Yeah, he's a rapper.
Yeah. But they had weaponized drone spy bots in They Live. You know, the scene where he like shoots up the bank after he says like, I came here to chew bubble gum and kick ass and I'm all out of bubble gum. And he shoots up the bank and then he runs out in the alley. And this thing like hovers over him about 20 feet over. It's like about twice the size of a basketball and it's got all these eye cameras on it. And it's following him. And it's about to like shoot him with a laser or something, and then he just shoots it with his shotgun and kills it.
Yeah.
That'd
be awesome.
Yeah, but that, you know, that's a movie of the not too distant future where things are horrible.
Yeah.
So come back.
And in the not too distant future, we'll also talk about things that are horrible and hopefully some things that aren't horrible. So
we'll have more soon about how you do it, Nima.
You don't ask me how to do it. You just keep talking, man.
Do it.
About stuff. That's great.
We'll have more stuff coming up. Did I do it?
Yeah. You did it, man.
I did it.
You did it.
All right.
Congratulations.
Stick around. Woo! Yay. Wee. Okay, now I should wait till after we're done recording where I said, I screwed that up, right? Okay. Oh, wait. We're still recording. Okay.
What's up, Freedom Fiends? It's your boy, Nima, and Michael on the other end. I think he's finishing up some pizza, something like that. But you can give us a call. It's going to be 307-215-5171. We did get a Fiend phone caller over the break. Go ahead and give us a call back, man. We'd love to hear from you. Sorry we weren't able to pick up the phone there. I can't do it remotely from here, and Michael was off taking his little break there. Michael,
I was cooking and doing some crocodile.
Oh, man, that's what you... Oh, okay.
I got a crocodile joke I made up on the break.
Michael had a crocodile break, so you must forgive him. And also, now he doesn't have fingers, so he's going to have to press the answer button with his nose. So please allow us a little bit more time.
In Soviet Union, narcotic takes you.
Instead of you take narcotic.
Yes.
I think it's in Soviet Russia.
Ah,
I don't even remember that guy, man. I wish I was old enough to remember. What was his name? Yakov Smirnoff?
Yakov Smirnoff, yeah.
Was that like his Fiend whole
phone.
Shtick?
Fiend phone.
Yeah, we got our Fiend phone caller.
Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
You're on the Fiends, Fiend.
Hey, what's going on, Michael?
Is Lou? Hey, Lou.
Yeah, this is Lou / Miles.
I'm sorry. You guys both call in almost every week, so I forgot. I get mixed up.
It's like old people with their kids. My dad always says like every single name of the kid except you before he gets
My
to
dad
you.
Has called me my sister's name. That's kind of embarrassing.
Wow.
Well, my dad goes through all the names. So he'll go, hey, Nima, Frank, Misha, Nadia, and he'll just go through the whole list until he gets to you. And for some reason, you're always the last one.
Good
He's got
stuff.
Like five
Good
kids, stuff. So it takes a while.
Wow.
So what it do, Lou?
Just normal stuff. The only tyranny around here today is the weather. It looks like it's going to rain, so it's going to mess up the fishing for the day. But I've been listening to the Quaker a lot over the past week, and I find that I hate the state more, but I'm doing it in a more moral way.
There you go.
We have to involve. But I wanted to let you know, Michael, that I already had the opportunity to use the North Korea line on a status D-bag.
They said the Somalia thing to you, really?
No. The guy was just being being part of the Christian Sharia D-bag movement, and he was talking about the Middle East and everything, and how all the Muslims are evil. Strangely enough, I live in the Detroit area, where you have the largest Middle Eastern population outside of the actual Middle East. And this whole idea that everybody's, you know, going around with the suicide bombs. Yeah, I'm just not seeing it. I don't know. I think it's because it's not happening.
They probably work too, more than a lot of people who live in Detroit who are probably on welfare or unemployed, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, realistically, you have some cultural and some personality differences. I don't really see it as being anything unworkable because I can always choose to either associate or not associate with people. But,
yeah,
you know, that's what happens when they're educated at the government schools / FEMA camps.
When you go into their shops, when you go to the Middle Eastern run shops, do they call you cuz or friend? Hello, my friend. Hello, cousin.
Or boss.
It's a cross between my friend and hello buddy. How are you doing?
Yeah,
everybody's buddy or my friend.
Yeah, but, and you know, in Africa they call people uncle that are their friend. It's reserved for people you know though, but not family members. Like uncle Kofi calls
like
us uncle,
respected
yeah.
friend.
Yeah,
yeah. It's
okay.
Like an honorific.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Or grandpa, grandfather if it's an older person, or grandmother.
Huh.
Okay. I know in Russia they do the grandfather, grandmother type thing. But
what was the status about the Middle East? Was he going back to the whole thing like we should just nuke them and let God sort it out, or what was his deal?
Basically that, and I said, well, if it's such an important issue to you, why aren't you over there killing people? If I was drafted, I would go. You sound like Warren Buffett saying that he'd be happy and made pay more taxes if it was the law.
Right.
Chicken hawk and a pussy and a couple other things.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good answer if someone feels that strongly about fighting the Middle East. It's like, okay, join the army. Do it.
Yeah. But strangely enough, I got a friend request off the comment thread off of it, so I win.
Nice. always an opportunity, man. Every conversation like that. So good job, Lou.
Oh yeah, you have to horizontally liberate people, and I've been doing the sarcasm lately. when it comes to the drug issue, a guy says recently, you know, libertarians think that they can do whatever they want just so long as nobody gets hurt. And yeah. my response was, well, should we put people in jail just for having a good time?
And you probably I would want that, man. You did.
No, I converted him. I'm using some of the Stephon Molyneux lines about I don't know what the answer is, but this ain't it. And I got to tell you, my closing percentage is unbelievable.
You know, we should have an award for that. Like, you know, they have an award, an actual physical award for moving people to New Hampshire. It's called the Golden Porcupine. We need some sort of like, not even just the Fiends, but like all the Liberty people together should have an award for like, you know, converting 10 people. You get a prize, kind of like a video game, but real.
I might feel a little bit like a Jehovah's Witness if I did that.
You know, what they should do is they should get some rich Beltway libertarians like, you know, who are they? The what are they called, Nima?
Libertarian billionaires?
That company. What's the oh, anyway.
Cato?
Yeah, Cato. Get some of the billionaires there to like buy a dump truck full of like Liberty cards, Liberty dime cards. You get a Liberty dime card for every statist you convert.
Well, nice. Cato's too statist for that, man. You know, they want to be libertarians, in my opinion. But I think it's its own reward, right? I mean, that's an amazing thing. When you help bring somebody into the movement, that's its own reward. And we're always talking about, you know, statists always say, well, what are you going to do then? What's the answer? You know, you can't fix the world. Well, we always say the answer is educating people, getting people to believe in freedom as opposed to believing in aggressing against people and pointing guns at them. So when you do that, you've done what we say we want to do. You've done our goal.
I'm not anywhere getting my my reward yet, even though I've probably converted dozens, if not hundreds of people, because I'm still undoing the damage of how statist I was before. I'm almost there, but you know, I had 40 some years of statism to make amends for.
But when you were a statist, you weren't horizontally enforcing, were you?
I mean, that's true. I was really lazy about it. I was, I had other agendas like my band and my sex podcast and my books and stuff that, yeah.
Yeah. You were inert. You weren't causing
Although
harm.
I think with the book $30 Film School, which sold like 70,000 copies, I think I did enforce a lot of people to think that they should try to get government grants to make their movies and stuff. I'm still undoing that on Facebook when those people contact me. I'm like, by the way, don't do that.
Well, I have to confess that I used to be a neocon.
I was for about a month.
Yeah. Well, I'm a veteran. I was in the Army, so I always thought that, you know, the military was a great way to impose foreign policy upon other countries. And I didn't really buy into the fact that, gee, maybe they really don't want to have our ideas imposed upon them. I was one of those that believed that American exceptionalism actually came from our armaments instead of our accomplishments.
Wow. What brought you to the light with that respect? What was it that made you realize the error of that kind of thinking?
I was listening to a Tom Woods lecture on war and everything else, and he read off a Mark Twain writing, and it was something that he had written before he had passed away, and it wasn't published because there was no way that he could have, you know, remain successful with all the nationalist types out there. And it was like a reverse prayer where they talked about, defend our boys, widow their wives, orphan their children, you know, talking about what happens to the enemy. And after I heard that, it's like, oh shit, I can't unhear this.
Yeah, and that's an amazing thing. I've read that too, and that's one of my favorite things that Mark Twain ever did. More on that. Stay tuned to Freedom Fiends Live. You want to hang out with us, Lou?
Yeah, I'll do another couple minutes.
All right.
Worms.
Have you been looking for a safe, scenic, and inspiring place to live free?
The war prayer to you, but it's kind of long. It would take the whole segment, and it's probably been done better before and produced instead of read live over Mumble. So go look it up yourself. Just Google the war prayer, Mark Twain.
Well, I'm going to link it because there's a link to one. Okay. One of the sites has a virus, so I'm going to link the non-viral version of it.
Ah, okay, okay. Excellent. But yeah, I think that's your assigned reading for your freedom ain't free. You must pay. You must read the war prayer in order to be free.
Yeah, and then we'll just talk.
It worked for Lou, didn't it, Lou?
Oh, it did. Like I said, once you hear that, you cannot unhear it. I do find it kind of amazing that the Freedom Fiends are dishing out homework assignments like Tyler Durden.
Except ours don't involve holding guns to clerks' heads.
Or spraying down a priest with a garden hose.
I kind of like that one. That was funny.
Yeah, that one was pretty funny. Especially with the Bible. He slapped it on the ground and just sprayed it. We don't advise you do that. That's not part of it.
Well, you know, the interesting inside joke in the writing of that whole segment that, like, it took me a few viewings of it to get was he says, your homework assignment is to go out and get in a fight with someone you don't know and lose. And he ends up going to in his boss's office and beating himself up. So he is someone he doesn't know.
Oh, yeah, that's deep. I
never even thought of that one yet. Wow.
That movie's fun to watch. You know, like you watch it to the end and you realize it's the same guy and it's a Jekyll and Hyde thing. But then you go back and watch the film again with that knowledge and you're like, boy, it kind of makes sense and it's kind of crazy. Although I kind of got it the first time through. I knew something was up when he's on the phone with Marla Singer and his alter ego is walking by like yelling things and saying, you know, oh, no, when he's talking to the cop. And the cop's like, you know, do you know who blew up your house? Do you know who would have had access to homemade dynamite? And his alter ego walks by and says, tell him you blew it up. Tell him you liberated yourself. And he says it loud enough that the cop would have heard it, you know, and the cop doesn't react.
Yeah.
That's the point I knew something was up the first time through I watched that. But it's really fun to watch Fight Club again and again and again with the knowledge that it's one guy imagining the other guy. Because then you like things really make sense, like where he's telling Marla Singer, like, you know, after screwing her, like, okay, we don't really need you coming around here anymore. You've done your thing. Why don't you get out of here? You know? And she's like, you're crazy. You're a crazy person. You know, it's not the roommate saying it. It's the guy that just screwed her. So.
Right, right. Yeah, I guess HBO kind of ruined it for me because I was flipping through channels. I actually watched the ending of it first, like the Pixie song and the buildings blowing up and getting shot in the face himself. I saw that before I saw the whole movie, and I was like, wow, that was a great end of a movie, and I didn't even see the movie. I must watch that now.
Yeah. Although it kind of it's one of those cyclical things where the beginning is the end. I mean, the movie begins with the gun in the mouth and then ends with the gun in the mouth and a little bit after.
That's true. Kind of like that first episode of Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff where media has gone in the past few years, past 10 or so.
Truly is. And of course, media from a long, long time ago was amazing, like Mark Twain, because it brought our good friend Lou to the light.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, so have you guys... Have you guys heard about that new provision in the NDAA where they're going to bring back state propaganda against against the people?
No.
I did read that, and I thought I didn't even know it left. I mean, I thought
what
the
is
whole
it?
Mainstream
what are
media
doing?
Was
right,
state
right,
propaganda.
Right.
What?
Well, local radio guy was going off on a nut about it, and I called up and I says, look, we've got a simple solution for this. You know, this isn't something that we can't handle. This is, you know, it's just another thing that's coming down the pipe and we have to deal with it. Otherwise, our other choice is to surrender. I have a foolproof plan on what you can do to avoid falling into this trap and being, you know, hypnotized and abused and all this other stuff. And he says, well, what is it? And I says, don't believe a damn thing they say. Ever.
Or believe the opposite. You know, did you know, Nima, did you know that that thing where you have to sign in a store to get what's the cold medicine they make meth out of?
Sudafed.
That law is a provision of the Patriot Act.
Huh.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that. Didn't know that.
Jeffrey
makes complete
Tucker
sense.
Wrote an article
so what's the propaganda thing? I didn't hear about this.
So there's a bill in Congress right now that they're authorizing the official use of propaganda against American citizens, which technically right now it's illegal. You can do it to foreign populations, but technically the government's not supposed to use propaganda to promote war in its own state against American citizens.
So are we going to have some of those wonderful like World War II commie type posters with that great art of strong citizens like they used to have fighting for the cause.
I don't know, man.
I love that stuff.
I think it's going to be a bit more subtle than that. And again, what I was saying is, I mean, the Pentagon has always had a program of having retired generals be on TV shows and push the war party's propaganda. So I don't know how this changes anything.
Yeah, I mean, like every cop show on TV now is like a Fed goon fighting Muslim terrorists, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to be any different. But
All maybe you have to do to avoid government propaganda is turn your TV off.
Maybe they'll just beam it into our heads with microwaves now, and we actually will have to wear tinfoil hats. But I don't know, man. Yeah, propaganda. That's what we're talking about.
It is the world that we're living in. I just wait for the T-1000 to go in the bottom of the acid bath, and the first person that says let's build another one is getting bitch slapped.
I like that.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, it's weird, like, that they have to put things in bills, like, we're going to make something legal that we were basically doing anyway. Like, the NDAA, basically, you know, the spying on people, the Patriot Act, like, basic, or what they're trying to do now to get full rights to spy on every phone call and actively listen to it. I mean, they've been doing that with Project, was it Carnivore and some other thing, Enigma, or not Enigma, but, you know, what they've been doing is, like, they can't legally do it in America to Americans, so they outsource it and have people in other countries do it and then send reports to America. That's their workaround.
Yeah. They do what they want to do anyway. Yeah. So
they're exporting those spying jobs. They should be keeping those spying jobs in America. Keep spying on Americans,
They took our jobs.
They do the same thing with torturing. They black sites. They'll torture people in countries.
Right. So they'll it's just normalizing it. Then it's just making it be an accepted thing because people are so brainwashed that they feel like things are wrong unless there is a law. So if the government says, "Well, it's legal for us to do something horrible to you," then the legal positivist and the statist will go, "Oh, okay. Well, they're just following the rules. They're just doing their job."
I normalize every episode of Freedom Fiends. I use the normalize button in SoundForge. That's why they sound so good. Part of it. But that's not really
that kind of normalizing makes things better.
Yeah. It's not like a button that makes everything statist, or I guess to a libertarian it'd be a button that makes statist things not statist.
That's what you do with the Fiends episodes, right?
Yeah.
You make the non-statism louder.
Yeah. And it makes the statism that I used to have quieter. Somebody took me to task the other day. I don't think it was you. I think it was Miles, actually. Somebody was yelling at me on the internet for, like, I said, yeah, well, I don't know if it was Miles, but somebody was saying one of the comments was something like, you know, I said something like, I think they should legalize gay marriage. And then in the next sentence, I said, I think the government should be completely out of marriage, which is a contradiction, but it's an incrementalism thing. But, you know, I mean, I'd like weed decriminalized and taxed for cancer patients instead of having them all thrown in jail. I think that'd be a step in the right direction, although it's not my ultimate goal. But
I waffle back and forth, and I'm kind of more feeling the bad Quaker line of reasoning now. Like, and if you go back to your analogy of the abusive spouse, you know, you want to just leave the abusive spouse. You don't want the abusive spouse to buy you flowers and bring it to your work and say,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Well,
I think if you were
in jail, you might have a different opinion on it. Maybe not.
True. You know? I don't know. That's why I waffle back and forth, because it's hard to tell.
It's easy to say from the comfort of our windowless bunkers.
Michael?
Yeah.
I have a real Freedom Fix update for you.
You got about 2 minutes.
I posted the thing about the status, say, if you want to live in a libertarian paradise, blah, 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 on my Facebook page. And one of the people that liked it and threw a positive comment on it is a state representative from Michigan.
Really? Is it Justin Amash?
I was going to say.
No. No, he's a U.S. representative.
Oh, a state. Oh, okay. State senator, rep. Cool, because I'm really sick of my state rep. I helped him get elected. Now I think he's Christian Sharia. Glad there's one good one out there.
Well, this guy is pro-pig, and I don't mean the ones that live. I mean the ones that run around and do cute shit before you turn them into bacon.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great definition.
It is. Well, we're out here. We're out.
Yeah, I think we can say out at the end.
Welcome back.
We got to say stay tuned for more liberty from other wonderful shows on LRN.fm. There you go.
Right. Thank worms. You, Lou. We appreciate
worms.
It.
Worms. We don't just say, all right, now you've listened to us. Now hang up.
Yeah.
Now
yeah, hang
turn
up.
Off your radio. No, we say, stay tuned for more Liberty on LRN.FM.
I was schooled.
Yeah. I got it right, finally, once. All right.
It's the Onion Radio News. All right. J.C. Penney abandons it.